The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. It's awesome to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being with us today for worship. It is PBS week, and it's funny, I was telling my dad, this is my one day I usually get to wear jeans and a t-shirt to preach in, and I messed it up because I planned this sermon, I planned this sermon series prior to thinking about everything. And so if you're joining us today, we're kind of finishing up a series on renewing. So far, we've looked at renewing our mission and how every Christian, regardless of whether you're, you know, old, young, wherever you are, every Christian has certain missions that God has called them to. And last week, we talked about renewing your passion, and we talked about how God's desire for each of us is to passionately pursue Him. And every once in a while, we need to be renewed with a passion or something like that. And so today, I want to look at renewing your commitment. And you say, that's kind of weird. That doesn't really fit. And let me explain a little bit why it does fit. If I believe in the mission, but I'm not committed to it, is that going to do any good? I mean, like, I can be committed to saving money until I go to Dollar General. Right? Jack, my nephew and I went to Dollar General yesterday. I don't even know what we bought. We just like, yeah, this looks cool. Let's buy that. And we bought all kinds of random stuff. I can believe in the mission of saving money, but if I'm not committed to it and I don't actually do anything about it, it doesn't do any good. Now, I know you don't want to know this about me, but I'm a romance guy. I'm romance. Oh, man, I'm romance. She's wearing socks, but usually, knock your socks off with how romantic I am. But let me ask you, if I can be as romantic as I want to be, but if I'm not committed, you think she's going to stick with me? It ain't no way in the world, man. Listen, I can bring her dozens of roses. I can do all the different things that are good and chocolate and all those different things. But if I say, hey, listen, it's you and five other ladies. See ya. She ain't sticking around. So commitment is key. Listen, we can renew our mission, we can renew our passion, but if we don't ever renew our commitment, we're falling short of the absolute best that God has for us. In the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, Solomon is getting ready to dedicate the temple. And as he's getting ready to dedicate the temple, this is his prayer. It's 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 57 through 61. He says this, "May the Lord God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us or forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience, to keep his commands, his decrees, his laws that he gave our ancestors. May the words of mine which I've prayed before the Lord be near the Lord God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need. So the peoples of the earth may know the Lord, that there is no other, and your hearts may be fully committed to our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands all the time." As you look through and you read through that passage, you can see that there's commitment to a mission. That there's even commitment about passion, about how it's daily, this ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. And the idea that Solomon is getting across is that, hey, listen, committing or renewing, he's renewing the people's willingness to fulfill the mission, to be the ones who are the light to the world, to show the rest of the world who God is. He's saying, listen, you need to renew your passion every once in a while. You need to just kind of spend some time telling God how much you love him for all the things he's done. But he ends it and he finishes with this idea that we would be fully committed to the cause of Christ, in his time to God, and what God has called the people of Israel to do. For you and I, it's that we would be fully committed to the cause of Christ. And so as we look at this idea that commitment is key, I want to look at three different things that we can need to as recommit to, maybe, or renew our commitment to. The first one is we need to recommit to our worship. If you look in Psalms, and you've got it there in your notes, hopefully, and if it's going to come up on the screen, but just hang with me. Our worship needs to have four different things. It needs to have participation, it needs to have giving, It needs to have examination, and it needs to have transformation. All right? Now, listen, I know we call this a worship service. I know that Michael and Becky lead us in worship. But here's the thing. Worship is not just a set time. It's not one part of the service. It's not when the music is done. Worship starts from the time that you walk in the doors to the time that you leave. That's what corporate worship is. It's worshiping God together. Everything that is done during this service is intended to give you an opportunity to worship God. Everything that's done. But here's the deal. We can't force feed it to you. This is not a zoo where you come and you watch somebody else eat. This is where you have to eat yourself. You have to participate. If you look through that list or that scripture in Psalms chapter 95 through 96, look at some of the active words David uses. Come, let us sing, he says. Come, let us come before the God. Come with music. Come with song. Come and bow down. Kneel. Jumping down to verse number 1 of chapter 60 or 96, he says this. Sing, sing, sing. Declare. Among the nations, all the people. He goes on and he says to worship with trembling. These are all active words. Why? Because you and I have to participate in worship. If all we do is we come in here and we observe, we have missed what God is, the absolute best that God has for us. Worship is not a spectator sport. It's an actively participant gift that God gives to you and I that we get to be a part of. This is not something where, man, we watch. Man, Becky worshiped great today. Hey, Becky, good job worshiping. That's not what it is. It's not something where we come and we watch and we spectate. Worship is something that you and I have to participate in. He doesn't just say the choir director sings. He doesn't just say David sings. He doesn't just say the one person up front sings or plays music or kneels or does all those different things. He says all of us should come. All of us should kneel. All of us should worship. All of us should be a part of this. This is something that every one of us has to be a part of. That's what renewing your worship looks like, is when you realize that worship is participating. Look at the words that David uses to let you know that it's giving. It should be about sacrifice involved. He says it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a gift offering that they would give back in that time. God's worthy of praise. Going down to verse number 6 and 7 of chapter 96, he says, ascribe, ascribe, ascribe the offerings due to him. It's the idea that worship is giving. Alright? Worship is giving. It's a gift that you give to God because of who He is. But it's also a sacrifice. Nah, I don't think a lot of us like that. I'm cool with giving. Listen, you want me to give? Here. Until it costs you something. That's what a sacrifice is. See, a sacrifice is a gift that costs you something. A lot of us are willing to give. That's no problem at all. But a sacrifice where it costs us something is where we want to fall short. And so when we come in here, yeah, we give up our Sunday morning and we're like, yeah, you know, it's real easy when it's cloudy and it's rainy and it's not a pretty day to come to church and not go to the lake, isn't it? When the sun's hitting, it's not too hot. Danny the Bass are hitting topwater frogs. I think, God, listen, that's not the time. God's cool with me going on the lake today. See, because we're willing to give as long as it doesn't cost us something. It's about examination. Worship is about examination. Worship should cause us to examine our lives. And you say, that kind of is weird. Look again in your notes and on the screens, if you will. You know the best way to examine yourself? Compare yourself to who's around you, right? That's what we like to do. I can be better than somebody else. But what I love about what David does here is as David enters this time of worship, look who he realizes he's talking to. He says, the rock of our salvation, the king above all gods, Lord our maker. We're just people of his pasture. We're flock under his care. We hear his voice. We sing about his, we proclaim his salvation day after day. We talk about his marvelous deeds among the people that God is working among us. Verse number 6, splendor and majesty go before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. You want to get a good view of who you are, look at who He is. And realize that God, who is worthy of all that, who is the majesty, the King, the Lord above all, the God above all other gods, who created heaven and earth, loved you enough to send His Son to die in your place so that you could have a relationship with Him. Man, that it doesn't matter how good of a person I am. You know what that makes me say? You're awesome. I can't even put into words how great you are. Because it's not about me anymore. It's about Him. So you want to talk about the best way to examine yourself. How many of you come in here and we look at other people and we look, am I better than this person? Am I better than that person? Did I do better this week than I did last week? No, man. Put your focus up there. Say, God, listen, I'm so grateful to be in your presence today. You want to renew your worship. Start looking at who He is. And as you do that, you're going to start to examine yourself and you're going to start to realize how grateful, how blessed, how privileged you and I are to be in His presence, to have a relationship with Him. But it doesn't stop there. That should lead to transformation. Worship should bring about change in our life. If all we do is realize how great He is, but it never causes us or stirs anything in us to cause us to the desire to want to change, we've missed the point. Go back one more time and just look at that passage. David says he is to be feared above all gods. He says in verse number 8 of chapter 95, don't harden your hearts. He tells you that His holiness is what He desires for you and I also. Church, this morning, I wonder how many of us need to renew our worship. If you want to see the fastest way to realize whether or not you need renewal, if your commitment to Christ, are those aspects part of your worship? Or do you come to church and you sit and you spectate, you give, but it's not sacrificially? You really don't want to see any faults in yourself. You just want to get in and out of here as fast as you can. You have no desire to change. Another thing I think renewal has to involve, or renewing our commitment to, is our commitment to serve. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to realize that service is a key theme throughout our entire passages and throughout the entire passages of the Bible. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, renewing our commitment to serve isn't just something that we kind of fall into. It's a choice. You get to choose whether you serve or not. Mark tells us, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus actually gives us the example of what this service looks like. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Service isn't about being great or important or a title or the prestige. At its very root, it's about caring for others above yourself. Passage in Mark, Jesus says, I came to ransom many, knowing that it was going to cost Him His life. He was serving by giving His life so that others could come to know the goodness, the greatness, the love of a Father that He already knew. Renewing our commitment to serve. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that we should distance ourselves from Christians who don't serve. My dear friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I beg you not to have anything to do with people who loaf around and refuse to obey the instructions we've given you. Why do you think Paul tells us that? I mean, of all the things, like, don't associate with people who are, another translation says, lazy Christians. Have you all ever heard this from your grandma? Idle hands are
devil's playground.
There it is, the devil's playground. Man, I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony from my life, from individuals' lives, who were at a breaking point, man. They just could not seem to figure life out. I said, hey, have you tried serving? You don't understand. I'm hanging on by a thread. I understand. But have you tried serving? And to watch what God has done through that every single time. Why? Because the focus goes off of all my problems. All the stuff I'm going through, all the difficulties I'm having, and all of a sudden when I start to serve and I start to take care of other people's needs and I start to look out for the interest of other people above myself, you know what happens? My problems don't seem as big anymore. The stuff I'm going through isn't as difficult, and now I'm being renewed by the transforming of my mind that Mike was talking about earlier. Lazy Christians are difficult because they're the ones who are looking at them. They're self-focused. That they miss what God's doing. Service should be a natural response to a relationship with God. The last thing I think we need to renew is our commitment to come. It's really, really dumb. And honestly, I didn't have this point until Wednesday night. Man, our Wednesday night Bible study. I'm sorry. I just love it. Wednesday night we were in Acts chapter 20, and you have it there in your notes. And Miss Abby's not here this morning. She read the names really good. I'm not even going to try to. You, if you want to take a chance, you can try. That's cool. But there are these seven people that are mentioned in Acts chapter 20, and it's interesting. We don't know if they're old, if they're young. We don't know what their spiritual gift is. We don't know if they're rich. We don't know if they're poor. We don't know anything about them other than there's seven of them and we know their names. You know what they did? Showed up. Said, hey, Paul, if you're going through something, we're going to go through it with you. Encourage them. Their presence was an encouragement. Now, you say, it can't be that simple, Pastor. Man, it is. Hebrews. Paul tells you this in Hebrews chapter 8, I believe it is. It's there in your notes also. He says this. I'm sorry, chapter 3. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened to sin's deceitfulness. Ms. Sue just said it's about encouragement. You're showing up is an encouragement. And you, that passage real quick in Hebrews, tells you to encourage each other by showing up so that your heart isn't hardened to sin's deceitfulness. What's that mean? If Satan can convince you that your presence isn't important, what else can he convince you of? Your actions don't really matter. You can do whatever you want. Listen, full confession, church, I've got to go to the dump on Monday. Oh, it was raining Thursday, raining really hard. I got to the dump early, or late. I got to the dump late, and they were about to close. And as I started to throw my trash away, the gentleman at the dump said something kind of snarky to me, and I lost it. And I yelled, and I threw my trash can in the back of my truck.
Oh, no.
And I went to bed Thursday night. Tore up. Why? Because I lost it. I believed that lie that my actions didn't matter in that moment. That I could say what I wanted to. And Kelsey said, you know he knows you're the pastor of the church, don't you? I said, yeah, I know. That's why I've got to go back and apologize. Because I know he knows who I am. But listen, if Satan can convince you that showing up isn't important, he can all of a sudden convince you that your actions don't matter, that your witness doesn't matter, that your marriage doesn't matter, that the commitment that you've made to this, that these different things that you've committed to and that you've agreed to, that who you are at your core doesn't matter. And it all starts with him convincing you, you don't have to go. Nobody's going to notice. You can sleep in one Sunday. You can miss. It's all right. No one's going to notice. Hey, listen, in Hebrews, this is what else the author of Hebrews says. not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. The writer of Hebrews tells us, hey, listen, it's going to get harder. Is the world harder today than it was 50 years ago? Yeah. It's only going to get harder. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to convince Christians that, listen, we don't need this. You can watch a much better preacher online. I do. You don't have to come to church. It's okay. You don't have to be a part of a fellowship. You don't have to commit to things like VBS or serving or worship. You can just be a Christian by yourself. You know what happens as times get harder and harder and harder? Their relationship with Christ suffers and suffers and suffers. The writer here says, listen, as the days get harder, this becomes more important. Why? Because you're going through something that I need to watch you go through so I can be encouraged by what you're going through. And you need to watch what I'm going through so that next time you're at the dump and that guy says something snarky to you, you don't lose your temper on him like I did. This matters so much. You need this. We need you. You need to be a part of this because as the days get harder, and they're only going to get harder, you have to be encouraging each other. Island Christianity is not good for anybody. This morning, church, I wonder, we're going to do something a little different for the invitation. We've talked about renewing over the past couple weeks. We've talked about renewing our mission, renewing our focus on the mission of God, renewing our passion and our love for God, renewing our commitment to God. This morning during the invitation, I want you to renew whatever you got to renew. You say, I'm a good Christian, Pastor. I don't need to renew anything. Hey, listen, I'm a good husband, but if I stop caring about my relationship with my wife and I don't renew it from time to time and I don't do things that are important for just us, you know how long my marriage is going to last? I do, not long. Been there, done that, don't want to do it again. This morning, there's something in your life that you need to renew. Whether it's you just need to renew your focus, you've letting, like Mike, that was a great illustration, Mike. I'm going to steal that sometime, man. I was distracted. I have ADD, so that happens. But, man, some of us, maybe life just got busy. And you've lost the focus of the importance of the things that God has called every believer to do. And this morning, that's your simple thing, is you just need to renew your focus. Say, God, the mission that matters to you matters to me. This morning, maybe you've fallen into just a passionate relationship, a passionless relationship with Christ. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but that passion that once was there isn't there anymore. This morning, you just need to renew your passion. This morning, maybe you need to renew your commitment. Maybe it's your commitment to worship. You're not giving like you should in worship. You're not participating. You're not looking for examination and transformation and change. You're just kind of coming in and watching worship take place. Maybe this morning you need to recommit or renew your commitment to service. You've become what Paul would call a lazy Christian, watching other people work. Maybe this morning you need to renew your commitment just to come. Hey, listen, you showing up does wonders. I don't know what the count is. I think I heard yesterday we've got at least 100 kids pre-registered. Is that somewhere close?
Between volunteers and everybody, yes. Over okay. 100.
100 people are going to be on campus tonight. You know what they need? You. I can't do anything. You can smile. Even if it's not a good one. You can wave. You can shake a hand. You can give a high five. And listen, I'm not just talking to the kids. You know how many parents? You parents from all around here are going to bring their kids here tonight. You know who they need to see? Other parents. Grandparents who have struggled through, who've raised kids. That's who they need to see. They need to see you. Today, during the invitation, my challenge and my prayer for you is this. The altar's open. I'm going to be here if you need to make a decision. I want to talk to you about it. I want to walk you through a decision. I'm going to spend about 2 minutes renewing some stuff in my life that I need to renew. My invitation, my challenge for you is that you would spend some time renewing here. But why? I don't like the altar. That's weird. Okay. Remember that thing we talked about with worship where if it's not sacrificial, it doesn't cost you something? Is it real? Something as simple as walking down here, saying your prayer of, God, I want to recommit something here. Cost you a little bit of pride, maybe? Cost you a little bit of embarrassment? People are going to know there's something wrong with me. Hey, there's something wrong with all of us. Spoiler alert. So my prayer is that whatever you need to renew this morning, you would renew it during this time. Because we're not going to be conformed to this age. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, of our mission, of our passion, and our commitment to Christ, to who He's called us to be. God, I thank You so much for today. Lord, I thank You for this church. I thank You for this fellowship. I thank You for this. The people that are in this room right now. God, that they may never all be in this space at this time ever again. But God, I believe that You called each of us here today because our presence matters to each other, but it matters to You. So Lord, I pray that during this time as we recommit, we renew our commitment to You, we renew our passionate relationship with You, we renew our mission, Lord, that You would do what only Your Holy Spirit can do. Work in our lives in a great way. So that, Lord, we are a group of people who are focused on what You want us to do in this community. We're passionate about our love for You and our love for people. And God, we're committed to the cause, whatever it costs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.